I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we return to league action after a busy week of European football. It's a repeat of the game that arguably started Aberdeen's downward spiral as they head to Hibs. There's a battle of the Saints in Dundee against Hearts at 3 o'clock. Celtic, Rangers and managerless Motherwell all have to wait until tomorrow. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me in the studio, you have Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
There should be praise for research. Listen to this. On the 26th of November, Hibs 3, Aberdeen 3 at Easter Road. Aberdeen left Edinburgh that night 2 points behind Celtic at the top of the league. Hibs were bottom, 23 points behind Aberdeen. If Hibs win today, they go fifth in the table, 2 points behind Aberdeen, and Aberdeen stay 25 points behind Celtic. Jimmy Tilleen, what's going on elsewhere? Can St Johnstone start to beat the drop by beating St Mirren and Paisley? No. Can Hearts go above Dundee in the table and continue Neil Critchley's good run? Yes. And will Bruni go top of the championship after Ayr United have beaten Hamilton Accies in Lanarkshire? You bet. What a day.
Quite remarkable, Aberdeen's turning form this year, like Hugh points out. And you know, it brings it all home when you put Hibs and Aberdeen together, like Hugh has just described there. And a big day for Jimmy Tilleen, because he needs to halt the rot somewhere along the line. And what better way to do it than a win against Hibs? But Hibs are flying high. What a turnaround from David Gray. So he'll fancy his chances. St Mirren an opportunity to jump into the top six, leapfrog Motherwell, who are without a manager, and face Celtic tomorrow. And Hugh's right to give Ayr United a mention. Scott Brown could go top of the table after Falkirk's collapse in recent weeks. Another defeat last night. Chance for Ayr to capitalise.
Yeah, it's not just looking forward to today. It's been a brilliant week, Gordon. Congratulations to both Celtic and Rangers. I know Celtic will be disappointed with Aston Villa result, but I thought the game was absolutely brilliant. Great watch. And well done to Rangers once again. We'll look forward to see how they can progress in Europe. And then on to today's fixtures and tomorrow. And boys quite rightly say, "Old club, what a great chance to go top of the championship this afternoon. A lot of good games ahead."
The man's right, Hugh Keevans, and I don't say it often, what a week it's been. Celtic didn't get the win, but they did fairly well on the night. It sets them up for Bayern Munich. We don't yet know who Rangers will face. We've got the transfer window drawing to a close. A bit of drama at Fir Park. It really has been one of those weeks to remember.
Pride and prestige for Celtic at Villa Park, but no win. Pride, prestige and a win for Rangers against Union Saint-Gilloise. So very good week. Tomorrow will take care of itself when we're back here in the Super Scoreboard studio. Rangers will wipe the floor with Ross County at Ibrox, and Celtic will have Jota in the squad. Jota now taking over Louis Palma's number 7, an iconic number at Celtic Park. Palma has gone to Olympiacos. Jota now follows in a line that began with Jimmy Johnston and then Henrik Larsson. A couple of big acts to follow there.
Nadir Chiefchi as well. Never forget that. He wore number 7 here.
Or Miku. Don't leave Miku.
Yeah, a couple of big hitters. But what
week it has. Retired the number after Chiefchi left.
What a week it has been for both Celtic and Rangers. The new format, I was a bit sceptical of it when it first came out, but the excitement into the last round of fixtures has been great. And especially for Rangers, who, when we left on Thursday, you asked what chance we thought Rangers had of getting into the top 8, and both of you says very slim, probably none. They had to get their own job done first, and just results falling their way puts them in a very good position and through to the last 8. So good for them. Big draw for Celtic as well.
Talking about that draw for Celtic, right, here's the surprising thing out of everything. When would you have heard this before? Celtic fans, who would you fancy? Bayern Munich or Real Madrid? We've got a better chance of beating Bayern Munich. How things have changed.
A difficult decision, that one. Anyway, I'm sure we'll reflect more on a busy week of European action between now and 6 o'clock. But let's put full attention into the 3 o'clock games. It is hard to ignore Hibs against Aberdeen. So much between these sides this season, and Aberdeen cannot buy a win. David Friel is there.
Yeah, Gordon, and as the guys were saying, what a game this promises to be. I noticed it was a 2-year anniversary of the famous Easter Road El Sacico just this week. I think it was January 28th, 2023. Jim Goodwin's Aberdeen reign came to an end. 6-0 defeat to Hibs that day. Just gazing over at the corner of the pitch where Jim Goodwin was filmed walking off with his bag into the sunset. I don't think Jimmy Tilleen is at that stage just yet. However, if Aberdeen manager doesn't get a result here today, serious questions are surely going to be asked. I know Human over it there, but the last time these two met at Easter Road, just November 26, it finished 3-3. It was an instant classic, but it's what's happened since then that has really mattered. Aberdeen were 2-1 up and 3-2 up that day in injury time. Rocky Bashiri, Hugh's favourite player, his late equaliser, claimed a point for Hibs, and it was just a real turning point for both. 67 days since then, and the difference between the fortunes of the two teams is really incredible. Aberdeen were 23 points ahead of Hibs. Hibs were rock bottom, and Aberdeen also had a game in hand. Fast forward just over 2 months, and what a point swing. And Hibs now have the chance to move within 2 points of Aberdeen with a win today. I don't think it's going over the score to say Aberdeen are in a spiral. They haven't won in 13 games. They've taken just 4 points in the league from the last 39. And they've only won one game since early November. That was against Elgin in the Scottish Cup. Hibs, by contrast, have been resurgent. They've been really, really good the last few months. They've only lost one of the last 12 games. They're unbeaten in 8 in the league, and they're the forming team in the Premiership right now. David Gray, he was under so much pressure early in the season, but he's really starting to make his mark as a manager, and he'll fancy it today, having also beaten Aberdeen 3-1 at Pittodrie in December. He's stuck to the team. He's found a formula with the three at the back. He names the same team that drew at Ross County last weekend. Jordan Smith in goals, back three of Warner Horror, Rocky Bashiri and Jack Iredale. The two Cadden twins will be the wing-backs, with Nectar Theantis and Dylan Levitt in midfield. Josh Campbell will be in behind Martin Boyle and Dwight Gale. Subs for Hibs are Bursic, Miller, Kwon, Bowie, Obita, Mariah Welsh, Hoylett, Molotnikov and Kuharevich. As for Aberdeen, they've backed Jimmy Tilleen with several signings in this transfer window. They need more, according to him. They're trying to bring in AC Milan striker Marko Lazetic on loan. He's made two changes from that appalling defeat to St Mirren last weekend. Slobodan Rubicic, who has to be taken off in that game, he's benched for Alfie Dorrington. And Ante Palaversa also comes in for Sievert Nielsen. So Aberdeen are going to line up Ross Doohan in goals, Nicky Devlin, Christos Tobbers, Alfie Dorrington and Alexander Jensen at the back. Ante Palaversa and Graeme Shinney will hold the midfield, with Topi Keskinen, Leighton Clarkson and Joppy Ockels in behind Pape Gaye. Subs for Aberdeen are Richie McKenzie, Nielsen, Nisbet, Duke, Morris, Boyd, Ambrose and Rubicic. The referee at Easter Road is Don Robertson, and the VAR is Kevin Clancy.
How much of this is coming back on the manager, David Friel? If Aberdeen were to win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game, in that sort of order right throughout the season and sit where they are, then that would be fine, wouldn't it? I don't think anyone would really be grumbling. But to have done it in the way that they have, how much longer can Jimmy Tilleen sort of put up with this? Or can Aberdeen put up with it, I should say?
Yeah, I mean, it looks as if Aberdeen are backing him. I mean, just the signings would tell you that. But Gordon, I don't think he can take all the praise for the amazing start to the season and then be absolved of any criticism for the spiral, as I called it. You know, I don't think it's acceptable at any point for Aberdeen to be going, say, 14 games in this league without winning a game. I just, you know, the results for me are alarming. I'm not convinced with a lot of these signings, I must admit. You know, I look at the money that they've spent on, like, Keskinen. You know, is he value for that? Does he do much? I'm not convinced. You know, I think Aberdeen, you look at the squad, you look at the bench today, and they're also missing a few players. It's a really strong squad. It's quite an expensively assembled squad. And I don't think there can be excuses made for Jimmy Tillian. As I said, you know, there was talk at the start of the season that Wolves were looking at him because he was this miracle worker. He did a great job with Elfsborg in Sweden, and he hit the ground running here. But, you know, I don't know. I just think he needs to start getting results. Otherwise, this Aberdeen crowd, who have been pretty patient, I think they'll start to turn soon.
Will Aberdeen finish in the top six, Hugh Keevans?
Yes, because in spite of a ridiculously bad run, they are still fourth in the table, and they will still be fourth in the table no matter what happens at Easter Road today. It is a very poor reflection on the league in general if you're that bad and you're still in fourth place.
See, to be on that though, you've said that before, but to go back to what I said to David Field, that's not really the way it works, because if they won a game, lost a game, won a game, lost a game, they'd pretty much have the same points. That they are where they are because they started so well. That's just pure arithmetic.
Yeah, and it's pure arithmetic that they haven't won in 13 games.
Yeah, but I don't think that reflects on the league. It just so happens that they won all their games together, and now they've lost them all, rather than spreading them out.
I don't care what you think. I'm here to tell people what I think. I am here to tell people what I think, and I will stand or fall by what I say.
I'm talking about that being a reflection on the league.
Well, of course it's a reflection on the league. They're fourth, and they haven't won in 13 games.
Yes, okay. Well, I was going to say I'll get Gordon to explain the arithmetic, but I've had enough trying to explain it to you during the week anyway. So, nice polite start from Hugh Keevans. Yeah, you can look forward to such rudeness between now and 6 o'clock.
I like it. He's on fire. Yeah. I like that. I like that bit of fire in as it comes out of Hugh on a Saturday. It brings it out in me and Mark.
When he's been exposed for making a nonsense point and he has to whack back.
No, he's not. Well, look at that face.
I'm quite happy. You call it rudeness. I would call you response lacking in politesse, as they say.
Does
well, we can explain what that means.
Oh, I think there's got to be a fight here. But listen, I know what you're saying. You asked a question: would Aberdeen finish in the top six? Look, they're sitting
5 points. Is
St Mirren Dundee going to catch that? Maybe Hearts. I think Hearts could possibly go on a run like Kibbs. Look, it's very easy to say, isn't it? They need to start winning games. But do you fancy them today at Easter Road? I don't think many do. And then it'll go into another week. So I think that, you know, Aberdeen are struggling at this moment in time. Yes, they were very fortunate. They got all their points, their job done with the new manager Bounds coming in there. And I think David Friel makes, for once, a great point, right? And the fact that, yeah, you take all the pat in the backs when it's going well. You've got to carry the can when it's not. So he does come under a bit of pressure.
And for the hierarchy of Aberdeen just now, and all the calls for Jimmy Thielen doesn't get his finger out, he's going to lose his job. But only they can know what the long term strategy or what the plan or what their view of this season was. Was it to finish in the top six? Then he's fine, because he will. Was it to push for third place? Well, who knows? Mm. Or are they content with fourth? If that's the case, well, you don't just judge, you know, a snapshot judgment. You take a look at the full season, and it'll only be decided then if Jimmy Thielen's been a success or not. He's no way is he going to lose his job.
Well, that's what I mean. The point I'm trying to make, your points per game stays the same,
of course,
regardless of whether you do it in two separate blocks or whether those results are spread across the season. However, it clearly can't go on forever.
Of course not, because the morale of the club then gets affected. The fan base, who are so knee-jerk, and I mean every fan base, then starts getting on your back, and it makes it more difficult for the players. But the good thing for Jimmy Thielen, and David's right about some of the players that have come in, they have still got the crux, the mainstays of that squad that were so successful. Now, they're not going through their best spell, but you know you can get a tune out of them. It's not like these guys have never done it. They've done it at the start of the season so well in 16
the worry
games.
Is that the anomaly?
The other factor I think that has to be brought into account is Jimmy Tillian's signings. We'll need to see how many of them are actually worthy of their place in the team, because he brought in Alfie Dorrington today in place of Rubisic. For me, Dorrington isn't even as good a player as Rubisic.
And that doesn't say much after last week. What about St Mirren, St Johnstone, Fraser, Wisher? Is that a sign of an upwards trajectory for St Johnstone, that win against Motherwell last week?
Well, they'll certainly hope so, and I hope there's as much action here at St Mirren's Wiser Stadium as there is in the studio. Good start to the show, but I think the St Johnstone fans will hope there's an upward trajectory, and I do think this is a more difficult game for St Mirren than they would have thought a couple of weeks ago, because of course St Johnstone have now beaten Motherwell twice in a row, and I think in particular last week's game against Motherwell in the league, and that win will give them a real lift and give them hopes of catching those above them. Stephen Vallecari's the chance to change his squad around. He's brought in some money from transfers, he's been backed by the board, he's brought in six new players to freshen things up. So things from Vallecari's point of view, you can't say he's not been backed by the board, and he'll look at this game as an opportunity to close the gap should Kelly and Ross County slip up today. But St Mirren will also get a lift from last Saturday, not only the win but the manner in which they did beat Aberdeen. You guys have been talking about it in the studio, but 3-0 for St Mirren, don't forget, is a fantastic result and an emphatic win. Prior to that, St Mirren though had lost four league games in a row since they beat Rangers here in Boxing Day, and they've lost their last two home games here at the Spicer Stadium. So Stephen Robinson's not really made any big signings, a couple just both at the start of the window, Zach Hemming through necessity when Balcom went back to Brentford, and Oseni, who hasn't started a game yet due to the form of Olasanya and Mandron. So it's so tight in the Premiership, you guys were talking about it there, between St Mirren, who are 5 points behind Aberdeen in fourth, so if they win today and Aberdeen lose, then they're on the Don's tails, but also just 5 points above Kilmarnock in the relegation playoff play. So St Mirren need to be careful and get a wee run going starting today and get them really challenging for a top six place properly. But St Johnstone need to improve on their recent record here at St Mirren. They haven't won in their last 10 games, but I'm actually really looking forward to this one, seeing Vallecari playing a much more open style of football these days for St Johnstone. There's just one change in the St Mirren team from that victory. Callum Penman, who came off, is going to the bench, the young man, and his replacement, Elvis Bomono, starts the game in his place. So they go with Zach Hemming in goals, Marcus Fraser, Alex Gogic and Richard Taylor at the back, Elvis Bomono, Kelly Phillips, Kaelin Boyd-Munce, Marco Hara and Scott Tanzer in midfield, with the two strikers Mikael Mandron and Toyosi Olasanya. The subs for St Mirren: Peter Raminski, Declan John, Luke Kenny, Greg Kilty, Owen Oseni, James Scott, Usheen Smith, Callum Penman and Evan Mooney. Two changes for St Johnstone, the team that beat Motherwell. Andy Fisher, the new goalkeeper, is out injured, and Kucharabi drops to the bench. In come Ross Sinclair, and new signing Elliot Watt, signed on loan under 21 international for Scotland from Burton Albion. He starts for the first time for St Johnstone. So they go with Ross Sinclair in goals, Dre Wright, Sven Sprangler and Bozo Mikulic at the back, Sam Curtis, Jason Holt, Elliot Watt and Barry Douglas across the middle, with Graham Carey and Victor Griffiths just in behind the lone striker. Mackenzie Kirk, Josh Ray, Mats Kucharavi, Fran Franchak, Craig Hepburn, Adama Sabidi, Matt Smith, Josh McPake, Taylor Stephen and Nicky Clark are on the bench. The referee today is Dan McFarlane, and the VAR official is Alan Muir.
Dave Galloway has done the Hearts teams.
The battle to secure a top six place is so tight, Gordon, with just 4 points separating fifth place from ninth, and only goal difference separating these two teams. In fact, both sides are just 2 points clear of the relegation playoff spot, yet 10 points off third. So things, as we know, can very quickly change, and there's a huge incentive to get a victory here today. Dundee almost at full strength now after a real injury crisis this season. Skipper Joe Shaughnessy is available for the first time since April, however he isn't in today's squad. Hearts, as for them, well, they were at the foot of the table when Neil Critchley took charge in October, but they've made steady progress, have gone 6 games unbeaten, and this is also a really important period for them. Midfielder Callum Neuenhoff, great to see him back, out 11 months with a hamstring injury. He's available again and is on the bench. Looking at the teams then, a couple of changes for Dundee. In come Mulligan and Samuels, out drop Ingram and Robertson. So it's Trevor Carson in goals, a back three of Ryan Astley, Clark Robertson and Aaron Donnelly. Midfield, Josh Mulligan, Mo Silla, Cesar Garza and Imari Samuels. Up top, Simon Murray, supported by Lyle Cameron and Soon Adewumi. The subs, McCracken, Ingram, McGee, Tiffany, Robertson, Larkesh, Palmer Holden, Lopez and Portales. As for Hearts, well, three changes for them. Shankland is back in, as is Nielsen, and Musa outdrop Halkett, Grant and Wilson. So they will start with Craig Gordon in goals, a back four of Adam Forrester, Lewis Nielsen, Jamie McCart and James Penrice. Midfield, Musa Drama, Benny Beningame, Cammy Devlin and Blair Spittle. Up front, it's Elton Kabangu and Lawrence Shankland. The subs for the Jam Tarts today, Clark, Neuenhoff, Steinwender, Forrest, Boateng, Danda, Wilson, Vargas and Taylor. Your match referee today at Dens Park is Lloyd Wilson, and on VAR, a certain Nick Walsh, who you may remember last weekend dished out that controversial red card for Rangers' Mohamed Diamande at Dundee United.
I'm sure a quiet day in store for the officials there. What about our one featured championship game? Because the big one was last night, but this one then comes into the spotlight. Hamilton Accies against Ayr. Roger Hanna's there.
Yeah, and the two teams, they met back to back in August, and when Ayr won both games 2-0 here and 3-2 at Somerset, Gordon, it took them to the top of the championship table, and they will go back there this evening if they can get a third win of the season against the Accies. They are on a terrific run of form, 9 wins and a draw in the last 11 games in all competitions, and it could be a bumper week for the Honest Men, because after today, of course, they host Hibernia in the former club of Scott Brown and Stephen Whittaker in the Scottish Cup fifth round before the TV cameras on Friday night. They will be big favourites here today because Accies have slumped to back-to-back 3-0 defeats. They lost at Livy last Saturday, they lost here at home to Raith Rovers on Tuesday night. They're just 2 points above Dunfermline in the relegation playoff place, and the 4 straight away games after today's clash, so it's important for John Rankin that he picks up something today. He has wielded the axe after they were 3-0 down to Raith by half time on Tuesday. 6 changes out go Albinson, Lamy, Barjonas, Martin, Henderson and Shaw. In come Linus, McGinty, McDonald, Longridge, O'Hara and Todorov. So give you that Accies team. It's Dean Linus in goal. It's a back three of Barry Maguire, Dylan McGowan and Sean McGinty. Across the middle, Stephen Bradley, Kyle McDonald, who signed a contract extension to the summer of 2027 this morning. He's there with Jackson Longridge and Stephen Hendry, and then Connor Smith in behind. A new look front pairing of Kevin O'Hara and Nikolai Todorov. On the bench, Albinson, Henderson, Martin, Lamy, Shaw, Tumulty, McKinsley and Gallagher. Just two changes for Ayr from last week's win against Partick. Nick McAllister suspended after his red card, so young Dylan Washut is back in at right wing back. And another youngster, Lenny Agbayer, on loan from Celtic, comes into the middle of the back three with a former Hamilton player, Mikey Devlin, rested. He's just got a little tweak and they're not risking him on the synthetic surface. Also missing Curtis May, and he also has picked up an injury this week and doesn't make it onto the bench. So it's Harry Stone in goal. To back three, George Stanger, Lenny Agbayer and Scott McMahon. Across the middle, Dylan Watchett, Conor McLean and Ben Dempsey, Jamie Murphy and Paddy Redding. And it's up top, Jay Henderson, and the championship's 11 goal top goal scorer, George Oakley. On the bench, Much, Musonda, Devlin, Hasty, McKenzie, Roos, Mitchell, McKinnon. The ref is Matthew McDermott, and we don't have VAR.
You'll be finished by 5 o'clock while everyone else is hanging on for dear life at the end. Thank you, Roger Hanna. We will go back, as we always do on a Saturday. Hugh Keevans, he was in a ropey mood to begin with. It's even worse because Nottingham Forest are beating Brighton 7-0. Have a word.
Do you know what you can do with your analytics and your algorithms, Mr. Brighton man? You can go and sack the manager. That's what you can do.
Unbelievable. What a scoreline that is. If we've got half the drama in Scottish football, we will take it this afternoon, and we'll look back on the week's biggest talking points next.
As it happens, and your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, and Gordon Dale in the studio, the top team round the grounds as well, as we look ahead to big games at 3 o'clock. We always pause for reflection at this point on a Saturday, though, and look at some of the week's biggest talking points. So let's do that. Bayern Munich, David Freely, you giving Celtic much of a chance?
It's going to be difficult, Gordon. It's funny, you know, over the last couple of days, people asking who would you prefer to play, Bayern Munich or Real Madrid. I do think Real Madrid are probably a little step up. I would fancy Real Madrid to win about one. I don't think Bayern Munich will win the Champions League. However, it's still a daunting prospect for Celtic. You know, I think Brendan Rodgers will hope and feel that Celtic can be competitive to a point at Celtic Park and maybe cause some problems. I think over in the Alliance, it's going to be very, very difficult. You know, look. You can see it as a reward for the club and a glamour tie, but in terms of the football, it's a very, very tough draw.
Yeah, I mean, Roger Hanna, in that regard, I suppose you're in it to sort of play these teams. Brendan Rodgers met Bayern Munich, didn't he, in his first spell as Celtic manager. There's just so much going around this because you don't even know what the Celtic squad will look like by the time that comes around.
I think it's a fantastic tie. With all due respect to Slovan Bratislava, Young Boys, Dinamo Zagreb, they're European games you forget very quickly. When it's the Bayern Munichs of this world, these are games the supporters talk about for years. It's Harry Kane, it's Jamal Musiala, it's Leroy Sané. It's going to be fantastic. I think it's great, as David says, the first legs in Glasgow. It gives Celtic, hopefully, for them, something to hold on to go to the Allianz. But it's funny, they've played German sides twice this season, Gordon. At home to Leipzig, Celtic's best display in Europe for years. Away to Dortmund, the worst display in Europe for years. So they'll be hoping to sort of level out those performances, I would say, against Bayern. But it's a fantastic draw. The supporters, the home supporters, will be really looking forward to it. It seems a shame that the idiocy of a very, very small minority is unlikely to allow them to go to the Allianz Arena to support their team.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, Fraser, once it gets to this stage of that disciplinary structure that UEFA have, I mean, it seems extremely harsh that one person can rock in, do something untoward, and then the whole fan base has to miss out. But clearly, there is, you know, it's a culmination that gets you to this point, and that is what strict liability is all about. That's why UEFA do it. It's part of the reason, I think, that we don't do it here. There is no perfect way, but Celtic fans probably, possibly about to find out just how unforgiving it can be.
Well, they can't say they weren't warned, Gordon. You know, whether you like it or not, whether we agree with what UEFA do, they're in charge, it's their rules, and the Celtic fans have been, well, certainly the club have been fined for the behaviour of their fans over many, many years, and cost the club an awful lot of money, with banners, with flags, with tifos, and now with the pyros as well. So you can't say, I mean, the last one was, listen, don't do it again or else. And if you go and do it again, I'm afraid for the vast majority of supporters who go to the games and behave themselves, they're going to have to, hopefully not, but it looks likely that they might have to miss the next game. And it's a huge game as well. What a game to miss. It's a great journey across the air. I can't even remember when the last time Celtic played Bayern Munich. You can remember they played Barcelona many times in a row, and they wanted fans to say, listen, can not get Real Madrid, so they got Real Madrid. It's just it's a real mouth-watering tie, and as the guys were saying there, to get the home game first, usually you want the home game second, but in this stage, I think Celtic can cause problems at Celtic Park, and if they can get a lead to hang on to, then they've got a chance, and the supporters might not get the chance to see their team try and progress. So in a week where you're talking to Stuart Kettlewell as well, and in recent weeks you've had bottles thrown at managers and coins hitting players on the field as well, so fan behaviour's coming into focus yet again.
Let's wait and see what that hearing brings about. Might not look too good for Celtic fans, but we will wait and see. I suppose the next question, though, David Friel, is what condition will the Celtic squad be in? Because going to Villa Park without the departed Kyogo, the suspended Maeda, the injured Carter Vickers, that made an already tough task even harder. How much do you believe significant improvements will be made by Monday?
Significant improvements. I think Celtic will have a strike and a left back in, Gordon. I think Celtic need to get a strike and a left back in. You know, when Kyogo was sold, I think we all agreed it was a good deal for Celtic. The player wanted to go, so you don't keep an unhappy player. But the longer this is going on, the more I feel Celtic are going to go down the loan route instead of paying. Maybe they feel over the odds for someone to get them in on a permanent deal. Kelechi Iheanacho, Brendan Rodgers' former player at Leicester, is clearly, he's one of interest to Celtic. They're in talks with Sevilla over that. I do wonder whether it'll be someone of that ilk coming in over the next few days. And the left back situation has probably been, you know, Brendan Rodgers used the phrase moving parts the other week. Obviously Kieran Tierney is now going to stay at Arsenal. I think the unexpected one was probably Alec Vai, you know, being so adamant that he was going to go to Como, and that's left Celtic with a gaping hole at left back. You've only got Greg Taylor there and maybe Liam Scales who could fill in, so I think that's an area Celtic will look to strengthen in as well. But it wouldn't surprise me if two loans come in as opposed to any permanent players.
So that definitely no Kieran Tierney this window for you then?
No, I think Arsenal have just closed the door on it. And you know, it's a bit strange that they opt not to take up the year option and then they start playing him a lot, but I think Arsenal have just looked at it. They're fighting on a few fronts, and Kieran Tierney, by all accounts, obviously well liked by Mikel Arteta, a popular man around the squad, and I think they just feel that they'd rather have him for the last few months. And Gordon, to be honest with you, I think that was always going to be a pretty difficult one for Celtic to pull off, just in terms of the finances at stake. You know, it might only be 5 or 6 months of money for Kieran Tierney, but that's a lot of money. You know, someone was probably going to have to meet in the middle somewhere, so it doesn't really surprise me that Arsenal have decided just to keep a hold of him, but he'll definitely come in the summer.
How big an achievement was what Rangers managed, Roger Hanna? A 10% chance, apparently. Mark Wilson was right earlier on when he said that when we left on Thursday, we didn't think they would make the top eight. That wasn't out of any sort of disrespect to Rangers. I think we thought they would probably win their game, but everything else aligned in the top eight of the Europa League.
every time you look at a different this from a different angle, it becomes all the more astonishing, Gordon, because of the seven teams that finished above them, Rangers actually played four of them, I think, the two English Premier League teams plus Lyon and Olympiacos. They finished the last game on Thursday night with Zach Lovelace and Paul Incio in the team. They started with Lyon King at right back. They had a spell with Ross McCausland at right back. James Tavernier was at centre back. They've been through an entire campaign without Yanis Hadji or Danilo or Clinton Insiala. The new lad Rafael Fernandez wasn't available the other night, and somehow they just keep defying all sort of predictions in Europe. They've not been great at home. We've gone over that time and again, and yet they just seem, on a Thursday night, home and away in Europe, they just seem a completely different team. They've earned a couple of weeks, couple of midweeks off that they'll get, and you look at that draw, whoever it is in the last 16, Anderlecht or 20 or Bodo Glimt or Jose Mourinho's Fenerbahce, fingers crossed, because that would be terrific. And Rangers won't fear any of them, Gordon. It's quite remarkable.
You and Jose Mourinho need to come head to head. Two of the sharpest footballing minds the continent's ever seen.
I think Josie and I could sit down and have a chat.
Really, that would be your dream. I thought you'd had a lot a lot better dreams than that.
In the football world, I would love to. I got near him one day. I was in Manchester and we were in the same theatre, and I tried to get into his box unfortunately I was removed by the security.
So if he's a special
sounds uncomfortable.
I'm just a dazzler. A dazzler and the special one together on a journey.
The untruthful one, I suspect.
Sounds like the worst ITV documentary ever.
The wacky one and the special one.
I mean, Fraser Rogers, right? There are so many lenses to look at this from. I mean, this is not, it's not as if this is a Rangers team that's flying at the top of our league and really sweeping everything before them, and then they take that into Europe. It seems two separate things, albeit they now maybe look like they are finding form away from home in the league, if Tannadice is anything to go by. But you add that to the level of opposition they played, to the various different types of squad absentee that they had, to finish top 8, it's a real feather in the cap of the manager, is it not?
It's absolutely brilliant, and it's maybe it's because they're suited to playing against teams that come onto them, and they don't get that often in Scotland, where Rangers will dictate the play and have most of the possession, and teams will sit back and just play defensive formations against them. They can't seem to break them down. They don't have that type of player, but what they seem to have is the players that can go on the break, you know, and they've looked dangerous in every single game they've played in Europe. And as Roger said, one of the keys of getting top 8 is, of course, you're guaranteed the last 16, but you get 2 weeks midweeks off, and a run probably since mid-December, beginning of December, where there's been game after game after game, then I think they'll take that and they'll absolutely welcome that. And the teams that they will play are one of the four teams they will play in the next round as well. They're not, you wouldn't say they're massively better than Rangers will, so they've got a really good chance of getting into the quarterfinals as well. So it's very strange. But Dessers was brilliant the other night, so there's somebody who's had a lot of criticism from supporters. He's been brilliant in the last couple of games as well. Igamani did well in the left-hand side. They've got players who can hurt teams in Europe when you hit them on the break. So fantastic nights, and great to see two of our teams well into 2025 and still in the European competition, and some exciting nights for both Rangers and Celtic supporters.
Will that extra financial boost, Roger Hanna, allow Rangers to do more business in the coming days?
It was interesting. I listened to Philip Clement's comments yesterday, Gordon, and for the first time he actually sounded a bit positive that it might. David's talking there about Kelechi Iheanacho coming into Celtic potentially on loan. I would imagine anything Rangers do would be on loan as well. I'm not sure the areas have really got Rafael Fernandez at the back. Does he need another defender though? When you look, the likes of Sterling, Casemiro, Balogun, King all missing at the minute, could he look at another one there? And would he like another guy to come into that area behind the front men at a time when Robbie Matondo and Kieran Dowell have gone out of the club? So that may be two areas he looks at, but I would think they would try to do some business before Monday night.
Any thoughts on who is a supposed easier opponent for Rangers? Is there much between them, Roger, would you say? I know we all want Jose Mourinho for the entertainment factor, but in terms of a footballing challenge?
In terms of a footballing challenge, I think it would be the toughest. They wouldn't fear Anderlecht. They put away Union Saint-Gilloise on Thursday night. I don't think they would particularly fear 20 when you see what they've done against the likes of PSV and Feyenoord and going toe-to-toe with them in recent years. Fenerbahce, I think, would be the toughest task. They're a quality team. They've got a manager who, you know, everybody knows what Jose Mourinho has done in his career, so it would be exciting, but I think it would be the toughest task.
What do you think, David Friel? Any, is it much between them? The Rangers just take any of them and fancy them?
I'm not convinced FC 20. I think that would probably be maybe a favourable one, just in terms of you look at the players. As Roger says and the guys are saying, I think Fenerbahce would be the most spectacular in terms of getting Mourinho in Glasgow. But I think it's a winnable tie regardless of who Rangers play. Gordon, the form in Europe's been exceptional. I was at the game covering it the other night. I thought they were excellent again. It was a bit hairy at the end, but they fully deserved a top 8 finish. And Philippe Clement, earn some more money, and you just need to wait and see whether the board spends some in the coming days.
Looking forward to it, but that can go on the back burner for now because we've got big games to look forward to tomorrow as well, of course. What an intriguing fixture. How will Celtic respond to European action? Will Jota make his second debut? And it's not often you get into a game like this where the other team in Motherwell have had just as many column inches as Celtic have as well, given their managerial situation. Rangers hosting Ross County as well, but plenty more to come, and we go back round the grounds ahead of the 3 o'clock kickoffs next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel, all here, all in the studio, all looking forward, or so they tell me, to the 3 o'clock kickoffs this afternoon. Don't forget, you can stay in touch all day on Twitter, whether that is on today's action, tomorrow, a look back on Europe, transfer window, any of the other nonsense that these three might come out with between now and 6 o'clock. Share it with us, please, on Twitter. Let's go back to Hibs against Aberdeen, because we spoke a bit earlier on about just how bad this drop-off is from Aberdeen and when it'll ever change and if it'll ever change. I suppose, David Friel, the longer this goes, you maybe let them away with it, a one-off last week, but already early signs that the win against Elgin in the Cup was just that, you know, didn't have any knock-on effect in the league.
Yeah, I think they were just a level, or a few levels above Elgin, and I think Jimmy Tilleen hoped that would just kick-start, you know, get back to winning ways and maybe take confidence from it. But you would probably say the St Mirren performance is as bad as it's been in this 13-14 game run, Gordon. You know, he's trying everything, and I think the big problem for Aberdeen just now is they don't have a reliable striker. You know, you look at Hibs and their resurgence has kind of coincided with Dwight Gayle hitting for Martin Boyle, who was out of sorts at the start of the season, has been playing really, really well, and they've got an attacking threat, whereas you look at Aberdeen, they've tried everybody up front. You know, it's Papi Gay, who was obviously injured for a long time. They've tried Esther Sokler, Kevin Nisbet came in on big wages, I think, and hasn't really hit the ground running. You've got Peter Ambrose, who's been in and out as well. And it's no real surprise that Aberdeen in the final days are going to go and sign a striker, because I think he needs that focal point. My only worry about the Serbian striker, Marko Lazetic, he's on AC Milan's books, but he's been in the Serbian league for the first half of the season. He's played 23 games and he's got a grand total of 0 goals. So I don't know if he's going to come in and hit the ground running, if that one can go over the line. So I think Jimmy Tilleen has serious problems. I think he needs a focal point in attack, but he also needs other guys, as I mentioned earlier, guys like Keskinen. You know, big money in Scottish football terms are paid in him, nearly £1 million. He needs to start delivering for them.
What will Hibs look to do in the coming days? Because we're looking at it in a more negative sense earlier, asking, can Aberdeen drop, you know, out of the top six? Realistically, if you're Hibs, you're the informed team in the league, you would have third in your sights, would you not? Which sounds crazy to say, they're 7 points off third. They've only played 24 matches, so maybe with a bit of something extra this January, they can really kick on even more.
Yeah, I think Hibs will be active. I mean, it looks like Eli Yuan, who is injured just now, he's attracting a fair bit of interest by the sounds of it from the Championship. I'm just seeing earlier that Stoke City, the latest club to be looking at him. So you would imagine that Hibs, if they do get a bit of money in for him, will look to reinvest it elsewhere. And they do have quite a lot of attackers. You know, you've got guys like Junior Hoyle, like Kieran Bowie, who was a kind of main summer signing, has been injured for so long. He's on the bench today. But I do think they could maybe do with something else in the middle of the park. You know, I think Triantis has been excellent for them going, but Dylan Levitt, Joe Newell, I just wonder whether, you know, Kwan's in there too, but he's not really convinced. I just wonder whether David Gray will look at that kind of central midfield area as somewhere he could probably strengthen.
Well, we're looking forward to that one anyway, Hibs against Aberdeen. If we get even half of the drama that we got when these sides met at Easter Road, that 3-3 draw earlier in the season, we will absolutely take it. St Mirren against St Johnstone. Fraser Wishart, I suppose when you're the bottom team and you are a bit desperate, you have to do something drastic. That is what St Johnstone's done. What was the number you said? Was it five, six players brought six. In already?
Yeah, really six players. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the chairman's recovered from illness as well, so he's back involved, and the owner, and he's clearly got the chequebook out and given Simo Vallecari quite a bit of licence as well. So six players is a lot, and you're attracting players who are coming to the bottom team, as you said, Gordon. But they've got a chance. I mean, I think today's a big game for them. I think they have to keep this momentum going. They've got two victories against Mother, one in the cup and one in the league, but they are still 7 points behind with 12 games to go. And realistically, you're probably going to need another 20 points from 12 games to stay up. That's a lot of points. That's a lot of points. And so it's going to be really difficult, because when you get the bottom, obviously you're a team that doesn't win many games. But if they win today and Killy and or Ross County lose over the weekend, then they've got a wee chance to begin to put the fear into the teams above them. But for St Mirren, they don't want to get dragged into that battle. And if they were to lose today and Killy pick up some points, all of a sudden that relegation spot, playoff place, comes into play as well. So an important game for both teams here.
How important is Tayosi Olusanya for St Mirren, Fraser? He's got 11 goals in all competitions this season, but I was looking at the games in which he's scored as well. You know, they beat Hearts by one goal, he scored in the game. They beat Aberdeen by one goal, he scored in the game. You know, he's managed to get some important goals at important times. Plus that volume, I think 11 is decent for a St Mirren striker at this stage.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a huge turnaround in the last couple of years. When he signed, he just didn't impress. He was on loan to Arbroath for a period when they were in the Championship. Over the last year and a half, he's been absolutely terrific. What he does is he stretches teams. He's very quick, and he's a strongly built guy as well. He's got a bit of height about him, but he's very quick. So he's always looking to go in behind, and he pushes teams back. And some of them play that way. Some of them get the ball forward early. You know, they do play with a lot of energy. Their midfield is full of guys. Thanks for O'Hara's playing in midfield as well, who's a good runner off the ball and gets into the box. So they get up the park quickly, and Olusanya is absolutely key to that. Mandron plays well beside him when he's more of the kind of target man, the guy that stands still, good in the air, gets the ball into his feet. But Olusanya's the man that really gives him a spark with his energy and his pace, and he's been terrific so far.
You look at the Dens Park game, Dundee against Hearts, Dave Galloway, just how big is this if both these sides have got top six aspirations?
Oh, it's massive for both teams. It should be a really good contest, I would say. Dundee, they've stood up very well to both halves of the Old Firm recently. They'll fancy their chances against any team at Dens Park. They play attractive attacking football. However, they could do with keeping things tighter at the back. They don't keep many clean sheets. Hearts were, you know, really down in the dumps when they came up here in August. They lost 3-1 on their last visit. Dreadful start to the campaign. 10 without victory here in League and Cup, but they're in a much better place now, and victory would take them above their hosts in the table. So it's set up for a crack contest.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. I mean, Mark, when you look at Hearts, it's it started being pointed out in recent weeks, but because they didn't climb the table that quickly, I think there was this assumption or this accusation that Neil Critchley hadn't really had that much of an impact. But if you look at the table since he came in, they are one of the top performing teams in the league. He has had the impact. It just didn't, maybe to do with what we were talking about earlier, with sort of how tight it is or certain results going different ways, it just took a bit for it to show itself in the league table.
Yeah, well, I think that's natural sometimes. Look, we're all used to managers coming in and having that instant bounce, but for long-term success, you need to put across your principles, and sometimes that takes a wee bit of time to get through to the players and understanding the way the regime goes from Monday to Friday. I think they're seeing the fruits of that so far in the last couple of weeks, and you think a win today, where that puts them, Hibs and Hearts, from where they were earlier on the season. I think we all said it, they're that big clubs and big squads that we all thought they could turn it round. But by the start of February, they could be top six. I don't think I expected it that quick. So, huge opportunity for them today. And they've got good players. When you've got good players, if you get it right tactically, you're going to obviously win more games than you lose.
Since he arrived, Gordon DL, only Celtic and Rangers have taken more points. I don't think enough people have noticed that, if that makes sense.
I think the reason why they've not noticed it is because of the way Hibs went about their business. Everybody looked at them, everybody was concentrating on Hibs. Hearts found their cell at the bottom of the league.
That's what I'm saying. Since he arrived, yeah, they've taken more points, or is it the same points as Hibs, I think, but in one fewer game.
But it's all about climbing the league. It's all about looking up for Hearts now, and I think they will. Don't get me wrong, I think Dave's in for a good game there at Dens. I think that'll be difficult this afternoon. I don't think they'll lose, but I'm not 100% convinced that they're going to come away with the 3 points.
I think Critchley's also bought well. We know that they're up to their elbows in analytics and all the rest of it, but Elton Kabangu has started to look like a very good signing. And in James Penrice, they have one of the best players in the Premiership. Not just that one of the best players at Hearts, one of the best players in the Premiership, and he has higher to climb. So I think the recognition will come. I think they'll win today, and the higher up they go, they'll leapfrog Dundee by winning today, and the higher he goes, the more credit Neil Critchley will get.
Roger Hanna, maybe look at your fixture between Hamilton and Ayr, but give us more of an overview of the Scottish Championship as well, because last night was massive, wasn't it? Livingston going and doing a number on the league leaders Falkirk, and they sit just 1 point behind them. Ayr 1 point behind that. It's usually the entire table that's really tight, but it feels like the top four is maybe already sewn up.
Yeah, I would have said so, and it'll be a fantastic, it'll be a fascinating title fight. You know, in recent years there's been a bigger club with a bigger budget, Gordon. There's been a Dundee United or a Kilmarnock or a Dundee. You go back the last 10 years, you know, Rangers, Hearts, Hibs have all been in the Championship. It's more of a level playing field this season, and I think you're seeing that with the side of the top. I think Thistlewood, who take on Morton at Fir Hill today, they should be secured in fourth place, and the three above them will fight out for the title. You wonder about Falkirk. Producer John won't like it, but it's a bit of a wobble. Drawing in Firmland, drawing Queen's Park, out the Cup to Raith, losing to Livingston. That's 1 point they've taken from three games against Livy this season, and I thought they sort of played into Livingston's hands a little bit last night. You know, Falkirk for me have always been a side that got it down and tried to play round about their opponents. I thought they started a, you know, they wanted to start a fight with Livingston last night, and you don't want to do that against Livingston, so it's throwing the whole thing wide open. If Ayr can get a win today, top of the league, and 53 weeks into the Scott Brown and Stephen Whittaker tenure, it's been a remarkable transformation.
Great news for Hamilton Accies. They've just been awarded the loudest PA system in Scottish football, so that's a great accolade.
Can I just say to you, I don't mind the tannoy system, but the boy to my left with a big drum, I would like to put him where Hugh Keevans would like to put the Brighton manager.
It's all about colour, noise, atmosphere. Roger Hanna, come on, get with the times. We will have the 3 o'clock kickoffs getting underway when we return.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel are here. The three o'clock games in the Scottish Premiership, plus our featured Championship game. All the 3 o'clock games around the country are getting underway, so why not put us out of our misery? Tell the whole nation. They don't even need to bother keeping an eye for the rest of the afternoon. You three are going to tell them how these games will end up today.
It is not Mamma Mia Day for the Swede at Pittodrie. I think Hibs will continue the misery for Jimmy Tilleen, home win there. St Johnston will lose in Paisley. Hearts will beat Dundee at Dens Park. And Bruni will go top of the Championship with an Ayr United win over the Accies.
Only one result different there from EQ. Hibs and Aberdeen will be a draw. St Mirren will beat St Johnston. Yep, Hearts will win at Dens, and Ayr will beat Hamlin.
Dundee Hearts draw, Ayr to go top of the league, St Mirren to beat St Johnston, and Aberdeen to beat Hibs.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Get advice on keeping infections and viruses away when school returns.
It's a huge shout. You think Aberdeen return to winning ways? Away at the informed team in the league.
Just everything about, and plus the fact what happened before with Jim Goodwin, Scottish history there. Aberdeen haven't won in 13. I think roles will be reversed. Jim Goodwin was sacked as Aberdeen manager. I think this Aberdeen manager will get a lift.
Imagine it's another six. Imagine Hibs won by six. Would Jimmy Tilleen then come under pressure?
No, he'd be sacked.
I'm very confused that you're thinking here. But anyway, we will see. See when on a Monday night when Roger Hanna, Roger Hanna, and usually Andy Halliday have to pick like a top man, a top performer, sometimes a quirky moment from the weekend's action. I think it has to go to the Hamilton Accies mascot today, walking out hand in hand with the captain. He's 60 years of age.
That's brilliant.
Got it for his 60th birthday.
I love that.
Remember we were going to try and get Hugh to do it at Clyde Bank, Hibs, yeah. Clyde Bank the other week. There you go.
Do you know something?
Happy 60th away and walk out with your team.
But that's great. 60 year old, you're still supporting your club. I know a few people there, and Karen's listening. I spoke to her Nasda yesterday, so I got him to say hello to Roger. He's looking forward to seeing you. But that's brilliant. I think that is romance of football.
At least that's obviously a joke, though. I'm sure one of my mates did it when he was like 12 and he was bigger than like the Motherwell captain at the time.
I love seeing that. The stag does.
You don't go, I mean,
that's
hand
what I mean,
in
but
hand,
at least that's obviously a joke. Yeah. If you're just a child but you're far too old.
I spoke to the chairperson of Clyde Bank, Grace, who was on this programme after they had played Hibs at Easter Road, and she said, yes, I can be the mascot if I buy a strip.
The full strip, shorts, socks, the lot, and those brown shoes you've got.
Brogues.
Let's do it. We do have our first goal in Scotland down the leagues, though. League One, a team who very much needs victories. Dumbarton 1, Alloa 0. James Hilton with the goal there. So nothing to tell you about yet in our early kickoffs. But don't forget, just in case you're counting them up and adding the two on tomorrow and wondering why that doesn't amount to six Premiership games, Kilmarnock against Dundee United is tonight. The evening kickoff down there at Rugby Park. So Dundee United flying. Oh yes, they lost at home to Rangers last week. They've added Alan Campbell to their squad this week, a former favourite of yours at Fir Park.
I tell you what, I said on Thursday night, I give Jim Goodwin a lot of credit. His recruitment this year has been brilliant. The Dundee United fans must be over the moon the way he's went about his business. And that is another very good addition to the squad.
Looked a bit chunky to me in his welcome to Tannadice photo.
Really?
Had the Dundee United strip
on. Is the story not go that he's an incredibly hard worker, used to do extra?
He's like
all the time. Maybe he's just
he's always have that shape.
He's like, this guy,
speaking of which, you
bulking up.
Broadcasting plunged to new depths today. When I arrived at this office, I was late because I was building my daughter's new bed all morning. One of the worst tasks ever of all time. And came in here very late to find one of you three sitting eating a jar of overnight oats for the pre-show snack.
I am telling you soon, and I'll reveal his identity in this way. In a couple of weeks' time, he'll say he saw spacemen at Motherwell Cross.
That narrows it down. I'm never in Motherwell here. By the way, but when you say a jar, an overnight oats I've seen come in quite a small jar. Mm-hmm. This jar resembled, see something you put your coffee in or your tea bags. Yeah, one of those big ones.
You do realize,
if you put pound coins in it, you'd be a millionaire.
You do realise it's not healthy if you eat a kilo's worth.
No, it's not.
That defeats the purpose.
All I'll say to you guys is, right, I'm fed up with you. See, if you won't support me in my journey, I will walk this journey alone. Right, it's as simple as that. And you're supposed to go, you'll never walk alone. You know what I mean?
I've not said it. I'm not going to support you. I'm going to try everything I can to derail you from this fitness kit.
Where do you see yourself at journey's end?
I see myself in a
six
better
pack.
Place and a better person.
Six pack.
I'm absolutely loving it. You know what I mean? A great believer. If you want to fly, give up everything that weighs you down, Hugh. You've got to just go
so
for it.
So by that you mean your man boobs, you're giving them up because they weigh you down.
Get rid of
them. That's pure muscle, like, I've got.
Literally that sentence though is what you're trying to do.
Do you see these biceps? They're frightening just now.
I want to know the book that you take all these quotes from. I want to have
I'll tell you what it is. It's called TikTok at 3 a.m. when he's lying awake.
No, I said it's Buddhism, he's in it.
I was reading that this morning.
Anyway, before we stray too far off whatever this path is he's walking, let's do this, Hugh.
The first half teaser
with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
The Six Nations kicks off this weekend. That's rugby, Dazzler. Scotland are playing Italy today, but can you name me the six nations that the Scotland men's team have played more than once and have a 100% win rate against.
Any Six Nations though, because there are more.
Yeah, yes, there are 12.
Let's clarify.
There are 12 in total, but just give me 50% of them. They've played Scotland twice, and Scotland have beaten them twice.
I could tell you one.
See,
right
a bit
away.
Of imagination applied there. So the Six Nations kicks off this weekend in the rugby. Can you name any Six Nations that Scotland's men's football team have a 100% win rate against, but they have to have played them more than once? They have to have played them more than once.
I don't think Gordon's understood the question.
What have you written down? Kenny Miller or something?
No. Show him the country you've put.
Italy.
So you think Scotland men's team have a 100% record against Italy?
Yeah, they know.
No.
What? I know where he's thinking here. You're thinking the wrong sport.
You thinking rugby?
Why would you be thinking rugby?
No, but why is the question?
Like, we've linked it to rugby because of the Six Nations, but why would we be asking a rugby trivia question?
I don't know. I thought you just mixed it up. No. And I thought, you know something? I like the imagination of producer John this
one
afternoon.
One more time. The Six Nations rugby kicks off. So as a nod to that.
Right, that's where I'm going with that.
Can you name any Six Nations that Scotland men's football team have played more than once but have a 100% record against?
I wonder how you mocked Italy there.
Not Italy.
Get Portugal down there on that list as well. I saw Scotland beating them.
England.
Gary Cook has sent me a picture of this 60-year-old mascot at Hamilton Accies. I'm a little bit disappointed. I'm not sure if this actually adds to it. In fact, he's not got the shorts and socks. He's just got like dress shoes and jeans on and an Accies top.
If you're the captain, that's awkward.
I think it would be awkward anyway. He's 60 years of age.
What do you say to him?
You'd walk out beside him. You don't hold his hand or anything.
You have to hold his hand. That's the rule of mascots.
No.
Surely.
I'd have the gloves on with the fingers out, right? You would dim them like that. The Alan Burrows suit.
Mark Wilson, the Charlie Mulgrew era at Kelty Hearts
is
up and running.
Yes, go on, Charlie.
Kelty 1, Annan 0. Liam McLeish, did I just sign him yesterday? Yeah. I think he did. He's got his recruitment down already, your old teammate.
Yep. Two old teammates there, him and Mark Kerr. Two great guys, so wish him all the success in the world.
Is Scotty back playing? Scotty Allen?
Yes.
Is he?
Is he starting though? That would be the question. I'll have to look.
He's coming in next Friday to give us a full insight into Mulgrew the manager.
The philosophy. The model.
The journey that Gordon Dalziel.
No, he's on the bench.
Oh, is he?
Oh, it's a big call that, isn't it?
But he's in the dressing room.
But he was assistant manager. Charlie will have him at the door next week. He was assistant manager, so. And he's just back, isn't he? He's got a bit. He's a good player to bring off the bench.
Anyway, right, we'll see what happens in that one. Elgin 1, East Fife 0, both at the right end of that League 2 table. Kyle Girvan on 10 minutes. Still nothing in our featured Championship or Premiership matches. If you are that way inclined, I won't labour the point because I know not many people in this studio are. At half time in the rugby, it is Scotland 19, Italy 9.
There you go. They beat Italy every time.
Exactly, you are right.
I was so proud.
I told you that when I went to the rugby, a great day out. A great day out round about the stadium. Apart from the game. The game ruined it. Everything else was great.
I totally agree with you. I went Scotland, England, and walked out after 16 minutes. I thought, I'm not watching that nonsense.
The best bit in the stadium was the national anthem. Yeah. And I'm convinced they played it over the loudspeaker as well, like a crowd noise. So it sounded more impressive.
Maybe.
But yeah, that was impressive. And then it went a bit flat.
There we are. Right, so let's see if we can get any goals nice and early. Get your answers into that teaser. Hugh Keevan's afternoon's already ruined by the early English game. Oh. Nottingham Forest 7, Brighton 0. That is a sensational scoreline.
Well, I just have to say my grandson deserves it.
I thought there was going to be a story there.
It's a story.
He texted me when it went to Aston Villa 2, Celtic 2. And Adam Eady had scored his second goal, and he texted me berating his grandfather for his previous comments on the subject of Adam Eady.
He gets the assignment here. You say daft things, people remind you of them. The other thing that jumped out at me, apart from the obvious stat, the 7-0 Nottingham Forest, 7 goals, none conceded, 36% possession.
That's incredible, isn't it, in football?
So
Reminds me
maybe
of all
the tide is turning
of
on
all
that
the,
stuff.
The Motherwell fans we've had in the last few weeks complaining that the possession isn't high enough. Nottingham Forest just scored 7.
Here's a question.
By the way, did he not do that last week, two weeks ago?
St Johnson.
They scored 3.
About 30-odd percent.
Yep. In the English Premier League, given that they call it the best league in the world, etc., etc., should there really be 7 goals between teams?
Yeah. It's not as if Brighton are
on any given
case.
Saturday, no. But that
unprofessional. That's what it is.
Oh,
Hugh.
Completely.
That is what it is. 10 minutes gone. Fraser Wishart says at the Smyzer Stadium, and nothing happening.
Oh,
nothing
dear.
At all.
The feeling that might be the case in that one today. I think one goal will win it, but I think it will go St Mirren's way. I think those two up top, Mandron and Osanya, I was saying to Daz just off mic, those two are a handful, isn't it, to play against for any back four. Osanya always seems to get on the end of a bouncing ball.
100%. Even with the defender chasing his own goal constantly, all season long.
Nicks it or he barges him and he gets you up the pitch. A real danger.
Edinburgh City 1, Stirling Albion 0, Ennis Lawson with the goal. So we're getting some goal action down the leagues, League 1 and League 2. Just those three Premiership games that need to come to life a bit more.
Yeah, well, I'm a bit surprised by that because, you know, as we pointed out earlier on, Hearts have been motoring. Hibs are the form side in the Premiership. And with Olasanya, I thought St Mirren would be up against St Johnstone by this time already. So surprising on all three fronts.
Aberdeen looking the sharper at Easter Road. Gordon Dale, obviously inspired by your pre-match prediction.
Look, they've got to turn the corner somehow and somewhere. And it'd be fitting if they achieved that after what happened with Jim Goodwin at the last time they were there. So... No, I'm not talking about the last time Jim was there as a manager. So, look, they've got good players, and sometimes it just needs a little bit of luck, something different, and it might just happen today for them.
Pretty even between Dundee and Hearts, the only real chance that Lawrence Shankland header, but that was earlier on in the game. Back in the starting 11 today, Lawrence Shankland, he was back on the bench for the first time since Boxing Day last week, came on. Back into the starting 11. Funny how things change, isn't it?
It's been a bit quiet.
How many transfer windows in a row did we go through with Lauren Shankland? Mm. Not a whisper. And we're nearly at the end of this one.
And that's why the cynic in you thinks, not a mention, not a whisper, as you say, you'll probably be sold on Monday then.
It's probably a bit of the opposite now, isn't it, though? Because the contract's up at the end of the season, isn't it? So is anyone in any real hurry?
If it's amazing any idea how things turn where he's going to end up, Lauren Shankland. You know, I wouldn't think he'd be short of offers. I know that this season's not been his best, but he's still a very good player that can score goals.
Penalty, Ayr United. It was a handball, Stephen Hendry of Aki's from Conor McLennan's cross. No VAR, as Roger Hanna reminded us before the game. So that decision will stand, and Jay Henderson will take the spot kick to score the goal he hopes that would, as it stands, take Ayr top of the table. So... let's see if he can keep his nerve from 12 yards. The mascot's dancing around behind the goal, trying to put him off. Yeah. And it's worked because it's been saved.
No way.
Jay Henderson's penalty does not find the back of the net. Dean Linus saves it. And the wait for a first goal in any of our featured matches goes on.
Bit of a blow that for Scott Brown. I noticed him on TV last night at the Falkirk Livingston game. And... you know, if he went top of the table by 5 o'clock tonight, you'd have to say it's quite an achievement for someone who started off at Aberdeen with Stephen Glass, didn't work out, went to Fleetwood, didn't work out. But this season, moving very much in the right direction.
A bit of space there for Simon Murray, but he ends up shooting straight at Craig Gordon and then up the other end. How quick was that?
Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Playing for a move, Lawrence Shankland. Dundee nil, Hearts 1. Just as Dundee had worked some space up the other end, it then goes up to Lawrence Shankland. And I know we've not said it enough this season, but that is what he tends to do. It's only his fourth goal of the season, only his third, his fourth goal of the league season. And a good time to get it. Couple of touches, great technique, just took it out of his feet, left foot shot into the bottom corner. That will do him the world of good.
Absolutely brilliant for him. Obviously, just coming back for that injury. He's looking towards the summer. He's looking for a new club. He's looking to make the headlines. No better way than start scoring goals again. He's got it in his locker, no doubt. Good ability, and that's a good start for Hearts up at Den.
If he hadn't had that season behind him last year, he was so good and scored so many goals and won the awards, he would be getting major stick just now, because 4 goals in 28 games for a striker at Hearts is not good enough. And he'll know that. I know he's had injuries, but he's been way off it. We all spoke early on this season. His link up play was good.
Oh, VAR's having a look.
Well, 3 goals in 28 games yeah. as it stands.
Delete.
Not good enough. But you are judged on your goals. And when you hit the highs that he did last season, you've got to back it up. Well, at least run about double figures.
Goal given. As you were. Goals.
We've got to start learning that now. I've been here long enough. When you say goal, we don't go too early now.
I mean, everyone keeps banging on about the impact it has on fans in the stadium and
killing
players.
Us.
What about us? Seriously,
killing us.
What about us? Overlooked. But the goal does stand. Hearts got away with one with VAR last week, didn't they? Their opening goal.
Yep.
Just no real offside check. They didn't check it properly by the looks of things.
No.
So it was a long ball from Craig Gordon. Elton Kabangu was in an offside position. He stopped the Kilmarnock defence kind of getting to the ball. He didn't really seem to notice.
Willie Collum has since called Derek McInnes, the Kilmarnock manager, to apologise. And that's Willie's problem right now. Too many apologies.
It doesn't change everything. Because, you know, if you've been hard done by, you've been hard done by. But also watching the game, I think Derek McInnes might have some question marks about his own team's defending thereafter.
Absolutely, but
sorry Hugh, look at this. I thought I was hearing the same message again. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Goal Hearts. It's Blair Spittle into the top corner, and all of a sudden Neil Critchley's side are motoring. It's a brilliant strike. We saw it so many times, didn't we, in the claret and amber of Motherwell last season. He's not done too badly since moving to Hearts, and that is another for his highlights reel. Blair Spittle finds the top corner, and as quick as a flash, that game looks like it's getting beyond Dundee.
Not the warm-up that Tony Docherty wants for the visit to Celtic Park on Wednesday night for the rescheduled match there. He spoke all week, Tony, about having players back from injury. He had his first 11v11 training match. Everything was looking good, and now the game's beyond them already.
Bumped into Blair a couple of weeks ago, just after the breaking game. I said to him, how's things? How are you enjoying it?
Whereabouts?
Just at a hotel.
Which
Premier Inn was it?
We were slumming it. Yeah. Up at the Eagles. Well, I tell you what, Blair Spittle must have got a good bonus for beating breaking.
Did you find one of your old Champions League bonuses under the mattress or something?
They're long gone, I'll tell you. Honestly, that I'm lucky Leanne's got a good job to pay for.
He must have a few quid. He slums it with us on a Saturday, this guy.
By the way, I was going to say, I wish I saw that Hearts goal last week, but last weekend I was in Edinburgh at that point. I was at the Johnny Walker experience.
Seriously.
On Princess Street. If anyone's not, you'd love it. Maybe not. I'm looking at Daz here. No, but he's off it.
He's abstaining.
But yeah. It's a proper show about the creation of whiskey and Johnny. Magnificent. So he was saying he was enjoying it under Neil Critchley. I said, why he enjoys it? He says, well, he seems to like me and he plays me. So that's why. I mean, that's a simple thing with players. They like managers who play them every week. But he's rewarding them today. He's done all right at Hearts since he's went there. Not the heights like you're saying, and Motherwell are scoring outstanding goals almost every second week, but done a decent job.
Yeah, it's a good return for Blair Spittle. I think you would. Is he sixth of the season?
Good player. He's a good player, Gordon.
You compare that to Shankland.
Spittle's a good player.
They've come a bit spread out. I think that's, you know, he scored 3 games in a row earlier in the season, and then maybe, you know, dried up a bit. But there we go. 2-0 up, Hearts are, and that's just exactly what Neil Critchley was looking for. Very, very much in control.
Well, I said that I thought the Hearts would find it difficult up there this afternoon, but certainly proven me wrong.
Plenty of time left.
I'm not holding out any hope.
And Hearts again, look, it's a bit early in the day and a bit early in the season to be obsessed with the as it stands table, but just as a quick reference, I mean, that right now Hearts are 1 point off the top six.
Yeah.
So, you know, like that and looks like a matter of time.
And at the moment he enters the top six, Neil Critchley people will see him in a different light. When he started, Hibs were bottom, Hearts were second bottom, what happened to the capital city, etc, etc. But the moment he steps in to the top six, it will symbolise a club on the rise and a manager on the rise.
Okay, you just remind us of your teaser, if you can, please.
Yes, we have the Six Nations beginning this week, and that's the key couple of words, Six Nations. Tell me the Six Nations that Scotland's men's football team have played more than once and have a 100% win rate against. There are 12. Just give us six of them.
Yeah, I mean, because Celtic Stats and Trivia says there's a lot more than six. Yes, we know, but you just have to give us any six. We didn't want you to name them all. So let's see what we've got. Scott McDougall has gone for Lithuania.
They're not there.
Now, unfortunately, we've played them so many times, and I think they've certainly managed to take something off us at some point, so we don't have the 100% record there. Don't forget, we have to have played them more than once. KP Jer would like to throw in Luxembourg.
Luxembourg are not there.
Okay. Cameron Tilly would like to throw in CIS.
That was for a start, we played them in the 1992 European Championships.
We've only played them once.
And that was the game.
So there you are. So we have to have played these more than once. There are some teams we have a 100% record against, but we've only played them once. So keep your guesses coming at Clyde SSB. There's a former player of this part of the world, Joe Aribo, scoring to put Southampton one up at Ipswich in the English Premier League. Stranraer 1, Spartans 0. Sean Docherty there as well. And it really is all Hearts at the moment. We've got nothing else. Maybe a bit of a disappointing start for Hibs. Gordon Dalziel, they're the one of the form teams. They've got good attacking threats, but haven't really got going yet.
Yeah, but I think Aberdeen, I said, would fancy something this afternoon. They need to start somewhere. They need to get back on to winning ways, or even being very difficult to beat. And that's what's probably happened. I think Hibs will need to be patient. I don't think there'll be a lot in this game, Gordon. I really don't. I know the last time with Jim Goodwin in the six really was a disaster for him. I know Aberdeen's form is poor, but I do not I think this will be a tight game. I don't think David will be.
Well, finally a Hibs chance, actually. Martin Boyle shot blocked at the back post. Nicky Cadden then on the rebound, deflected over. So that's really the first time Hibs have threatened. We're midway through the first half. They have started slowly, but they're not behind yet. It is goalless between Hibs and Aberdeen.
Well,
not much longer, it's not. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Hibs 1, Aberdeen 0, and it is Nectar Triantis. He's been in good form recently. A header from a corner. I feel like we've seen that before, and he's popped up again. He had a lovely part in the goal at Dingwall last weekend, and now he's scored one. So it's headed back across goal, and then he's the one that converts, and it is Hibs that lead Aberdeen by a goal to nil.
Now we have a situation we can get our teeth into, because that's bad for Jimmy Tilleen, bad for the travelling support from Aberdeen. It now requires Aberdeen to score twice if they want to get that first win in 14 matches. But the ground rules have been set. Jimmy Tilleen, the pressure was on him beginning the match. The pressure is really on him now.
A third goal of the season for Nectar Triantis. But that, in many ways, though, Gordon, that's the problem, that once you've got yourself in the on the run that Aberdeen are on,
try to go for it.
And that's why people say, where's their next win going to come from? Because, of course, you can go to Hibs and not win the game. That doesn't mean Hugh's wrong. I take the point. You know, every defeat is more pressure. But when you built up such a bad run, you know what I mean? Just as an example, if Aberdeen go Easter Road and lose 1-0, that's hardly a disgrace, is it, in isolation? But when it's number 14 or whatever it would be on a run, then it's a fairly drastic scenario.
Yeah, they're in real trouble. There's a great saying that, the fact that winning's a habit, and so is losing games. You can get in the habit of losing games. That's where Aberdeen are right now, and they've lost another goal there to Hibs. All credit to Hibs. If they win the game today, the leapfrog Motherwell into fifth place. Who would have seen that a few months ago? But David Gray, they stuck with him. I think he's handled it brilliantly. He's got his team back playing, scoring goals. Boyle's been a big plus for him as well. But for Aberdeen, once again, it's come from a set play. That's something that they'll be working on every day of the week to say, right, we make sure we don't lose goals at set play, try and be hard to beat. And what, you're 24, 25 minutes on the clock away from home and you lose a goal from a set play, but it's not good enough.
That's not specifically, that's not been their Achilles heel. They've lost goals for set play, but they're losing such a variety of goals all over the pitch, the way that they're setting up, which once looked so good. It looked a solid foundation with a back four and a goalkeeper that was reliable, and it was allowed the fullbacks to go up and join in attacks, and they almost pinned teams in. And now it looks the complete opposite. The back four is chopping and changing now. It's looking fragile at set pieces and open play, and it's an issue. And I think mentally, losing that first goal today, that's a tough one for the Aberdeen players on the pitch.
I was looking back at the 3-3 game in November, and behind one goal where the Hibs fans are, there's a huge sack the board banner. Now, the success that David Gray has had since that night, that amazing sliding doors night, the success has changed the complexion of the club completely. No more sack the board. The chief exec is gone, and the fans were quite happy to see Ben Kensel go. Everything's calm. Team in the park winning. As the Dazzler said, win today over Motherwell into fifth place. Now at Aberdeen, if it's 14 games without a win, everybody from Dave Cormack, the owner, to Jimmy Tilleen, the manager, starts to get it in the neck.
Do you know what I think helped David Gray and Hibs? I think they're past the fact that they sacked so many managers, they changed it so quickly. They were getting into a position that people were saying, well, you just can't keep sacking managers. David Gray obviously has that added bonus that he's a hero there. The fans love him for a cup final goal, and it's paid dividends, and you've got to congratulate them on that. And you've got to congratulate David Gray, because as his first job, that's not good, going home every weekend. You take that home with you, you don't know where you're doing the right thing. You've got to believe in yourself, you've got to be strong, you've got to get up on a Monday, you've got to get in there and lift the full club. And he's certainly doing that, and all credit to the guy. He's on a terrific run.
Martin Boyle starting to look lively. He'd have been in the mix, you would imagine, in the conversation. I saw Hamza Egerman got player of the month for January, which I think was probably deserved as well. But Martin Boyle must have been in that conversation.
Yep, performance against Rangers obviously stands out, but plenty more along the way in January that he's really helped Hibs come on. And look, that's always going to happen. If you've got a front man who can consistently score you goals, then obviously you give yourself a better chance of getting up the league. Hibs' problem was always at the back, but they seem to have just tightened up. There are still mistakes there, but they've tightened up, paired with Boyle's goals. That's why they're rocketing up the table.
Hibs score a goal in front and self-expression becomes easier. Aberdeen go a goal behind and self-doubt creeps in. So the goal favours Hibs and gets Aberdeen tentative. They really need to get something before half time, I think.
Yeah, we'll see how that one plays out in the remainder of the first half. If you keep an eye on the English Premier League, you might be interested to know Liverpool are a goal up against Bournemouth. Mo Salah, wonder how his contract negotiations are going. Given that, what a contribution.
Great to be in his position just now, isn't it?
What a contribution.
Well, I'd have my yacht ordered.
His agent, they're the real winners, eh?
Yeah.
They don't kick a ball, they don't run about, they just go in and then negotiate the deal and
pick up a few millions.
I mean, for speaking to somebody about somebody else's talent.
Yeah.
Saudi Pro League, if he goes there, I mean, they have enough money to buy the country.
I don't think he'll be short of options, that's for sure. Aberdeen are looking a bit rattled now as well, quite fragile, as the guys have alluded to. That can happen.
I think it's a strip that they're sporting. Have you seen this?
Is
strip?
It the black and yellow one today?
Has that had an outing before?
Yeah, I think so.
Those were the club's original colours when they came into being. Yeah,
I did not know that, Hugh.
Yeah. Everybody will mock me for it. I don't think that helps.
What?
I really don't. That's the
wasp kit.
The strip sort of identifies how you are just now. Get something.
But they can't win in the red one either.
It's like a sardine, eh? You go and you really shoot it and boot it nice after. You are feeling great. $1 million, you're ready to take anybody on the dancing. You get in that strip, your jeans are
straight in a Ben Sherman shirt.
You're coming home early with a pizza.
And then, or in your case, you're putting your overnight oats on.
Yeah, exactly, cute. And I know that people.
But they can't win in red either, though.
I know, but sometimes just. But that
I think
is.
Change
depressing.
It at half time, the old Fergie one.
I've got to say, the greatest manager in the world. He looked at that and agreed with me and decided.
His claim was the players couldn't see each other.
That makes sense, though.
Well, have a look at that. I know there's a bit of yellow in it, but my goodness.
So that was the history behind it, Hugh. They came into existence. It was black and yellow.
Those were their colours, yeah.
So why they changed to red?
Because they couldn't win. They couldn't see each other. They didn't feel good. They come home with a pizza.
It says the Wasp kit pays homage to a significant period in the club's history, and the design takes inspiration from the early days when the team was affectionately nicknamed the Wasps due to their distinctive black and gold stripes.
Yep.
That's great knowledge here. Did you read that this morning?
No.
Did you know that?
It just came back to me. Well, when Fergie was the manager there, the West of Scotland press were obliged to go to Aberdeen so often for league matches and European matches because he won a European trophy. That you knew more about Aberdeen than you did about Celtic or Rangers when he was there.
My friend from Bucharest never did get back to me the other day.
Fergie's
and
number.
Then I'll get in touch.
Hugh, I told this on the show on Thursday night.
I heard you tell the story, yeah.
You've got to aim high in this game. A journalist from Bucharest who I must have met when Rangers played Bucharest messaged to say, "You don't happen to have Sir Alex Ferguson's number,
and
do
you?" You were also bang accurate when you said he hasn't returned my calls for 30 years.
Well, so there we go. The hunt goes on if my Romanian friend is listening.
You fall out with Fergie, it's forever.
Have you got his number?
No.
I know that he doesn't talk to you, but have you got his number?
No.
I'm shocked at that.
You used to. That's the point.
Yeah, many times
you don't delete Fergie's number.
No, but they fell out before the days of mobile phones.
Yes.
Ah, right.
Just a landline number.
No, I think it might be it was
office or something.
It was at Old Trafford one midweek night.
Yeah, it was a phone box just next to me in the corner of the main road.
Fraser Wishart has had to wait 34 minutes for a shot at goal. At Mandron, yeah, it was on target in the end. Mandron from 18 yards straight at Sinclair. Now this is a good one. You can hear it dripping out of Fraser Wishart every week. He doesn't really like VAR, does
Come
he?
Come on.
But now he's got a VAR check for a penalty. So you can't have it both ways, Fraser. You're moaning that there's nothing happening in this game. Now you've got a VAR check for the penalty. So
it's
for a St Mirren penalty.
Ooh.
Play on. Never mind. As you were. Back to
another exciting day.
Back to a very quiet afternoon.
The leadership of Fraser.
Well, I don't think it's his fault.
He'd be better wearing that strip going out tonight. He's coming home with a pizza, no friends.
That seemed like an unnecessary attack on Fraser Wishart.
The Penguins down the road. The big Jacob.
It seemed to be very unnecessary.
I didn't have a good game at Paisley today.
He's
I'll have a pizza
crunch.
PFA.
You're invited. Won't be in the post.
I'll never get invited back. I haven't known you'd have binned me.
Well, quite right. I wouldn't invite you back because was it last year you binned off the PFA dinner for Take That?
Yeah.
Was that the year before?
That's right, so he did.
What did I bin Roger off for? I know I bin to Martin.
You went to see Gary Barlow and co instead, didn't you?
Well, I'm quite busy this weather, Gordon. You know what I mean? People want my
Company,
yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I'm sure. Right, remind us of your teaser, please, Hugh.
Okay, the Six Nations kicks off this weekend. Scotland playing Italy and winning at the minute. Can you name me Six Nations that the Scotland men's football team have played more than once and have a 100% win rate against?
There we go. So we're looking. This is a bit different. There are more than six to choose from. We just want six. So give us your suggestions. I can see, do you know what?
Somebody got that, Gordon?
Yeah, most people are
getting it.
Or there or thereabouts.
Mark and I have got our teeth right into it. We have none.
There's one team on this list we've played nine times and never lost to.
I could guess who it is.
Go for it.
Right, okay. Or or
hurry up. This is radio. You just saying or and writing things
one
down.
One and two.
It is neither of those two.
Who did you put there?
However, they are both on the list.
Are they? All right,
but
okay.
They're not the nine time.
I'm happy with that.
Peter, I think, has tried to remove that period from his mind when we played Israel about 50 times in three seasons, because he says Israel. But no, they did. They took some results off us, didn't they, Hugh?
Yeah, they're not there.
Bulgaria there?
Nope.
Romania there?
Nope.
Faroe Islands there?
Listen,
will you ever forget Bertie Vogts on the Faroe Islands 2-2?
Wow, sure it was.
Oh, I've been to the Faroe Islands. I went with Scotland in the younger years. Magnificent place.
As one of my journalistic colleagues put it that day, on the Faroe Islands we were 2 down, and he said, it's like losing to Dunoon.
I've not been to Dunoon.
Man, he used to have a caravan there. Loved it.
Did
he? Aye. Every summer.
But you have to get
ferry across.
You get a ferry,
aye,
don't you?
That's part of the holiday. Yeah. You seem like you're on a far flung adventure.
Never been to Dunoon. Might put that in my bucket list for
love it.
For a summer. That and Malta. I want to go to Malta.
I like Malta.
Dunoon and Malta.
I don't know why. I've got Malta and Hong Kong are my two.
Malta's good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that on the list?
When did we get into this again?
Oh, this team squash you were
is
here.
That on the list?
No.
Okay. I just didn't want to give it in a way.
Inverness 1, Queen of the South 0. Alfie Babbage on 36 minutes. Newcastle 1, Fulham 0 in the English Premier League. Keep the guesses coming. We'll round off that teaser in round about 5 minutes' time. Famously, or infamously, or whatever word you want to use, Faroe Islands is not one, because they have held us to a draw before. Do you remember any of the names involved that day? Interesting.
Kevin
Scotland
Kyle.
Team. Kevin Kyle, yes. Led the line with.
I thought you meant Faroe Islands players.
Is that an obscure one?
Yes.
Stephen Dobie.
What a shout that is from Wilson.
Is it?
Is it not Scott Dobie?
Scott Dobie, sorry.
Scott?
That's
Scott
it, Dobie.
Dobie, yeah.
And is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Bertie gave caps to everyone. Passers by were getting
steady here. I was playing at that time. I didn't get one, mate.
Still Ferguson and Lambert.
Yeah.
Dick midfield. Weir, Daly, Craney, Ross, Rad Douglas and goal. So there you go.
Who's you got the bench here? Who was on the bench at that? What year by was that? 2002.
You wouldn't go on the bench. You wouldn't embarrass yourself, would you? Seen that start at 11? You're like, I ain't going on the bench, mate. Absolutely no chance.
Oh no, some of these guys were better than you.
I was just making my debut in 2002.
Kevin McNaughton, Lee Wilkie.
Lee Wilkie.
No way. He was playing at Dundee
player,
at that time.
Player,
Graham Alexander, probably. Just says Alexander.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aye.
Who else?
Stevie Crawford, your old.
Crawford, great guy.
Good players too.
Alexander got lots of caps, didn't he? I mean,
After that, I think.
A fairly decent player, Graham Alexander.
Good penalty taker.
Yeah.
The Williams that is on the bench, remember his first name?
Williams.
Alex.
You're just going to name every Serena name.
He was my man, Serena goalkeeper, Alex Williams.
Williams?
No, not remember.
Williams? Who did he play for?
Nottingham Forest, Leicester.
No.
Stevie or Stewart?
Oh, right, this is just ridiculous. Know. There's no point in you just shouting every male name is Gareth Williams.
Don't remember him.
No.
You know what? I remember his face now.
Was he a winger?
I don't know. I wish I hadn't started
I'm
this
sure he was a midfielder.
You sure?
Aye. Quite long hair on top.
Davy Moyes is doing the business for Everton, isn't he?
Yeah.
Two up against Leicester.
Another set play, Charlie Adam.
Yeah, Charlie Adam.
Set play coach.
I like that one to make it
up. That's what you call in. You come, Charlie. what do you want to be called?
What were you good at? What embodiment?
Well, you had a good free kick, I remember, right? That's it there.
What
for
would you know about Charlie Adams' set piece coaching?
I don't know anybody's exactly coaching.
He might be an absolute mastermind at it.
I would find that very surprising.
Why?
There you go. And it was Ross McCormack told me the reason why he was
McCormack.
Ross McCormack.
McCormack last week told me the reason why he's become
don't
the set
throw
player
someone
coach.
Else
oh,
under them.
He's getting. By the way, I didn't like the other day Aston Villa Celtic, the karma. Corner kick to Villa. Karma just goes to Austin McPhee and he's out. He's out taking control. You've already told the players your job. If that's your job, don't take centre stage.
I'm somewhere in the middle, because it's easy to be cynical about this stuff. But if the world's best teams are doing it, it's
if they're doing it. But don't say to the manager, I'm in charge of this bit now. See, if I was Emery, you'd be saying, have a seat, mate. You've done your bit.
Just to put it in the mixer in your day.
Correct.
So you would just say, get it in the mixer.
Get
that's,
it in the box.
Seeing
as a manager, I always had set plays, corner kicks, three throw-ins and free kicks, three alternate ones. The minute they were gone, we didn't score, I left it up to my assistant.
I bet you your corner was hit the man just at the front post
flick
area.
On.
By the way,
flick it on or one, run the back.
Let's not be disrespectful there because Liverpool were brilliant at it under Carey McAllister. Remember?
Used to flick. Carey? What's up with you?
I think my teeth are falling right and I'm trying to get them back in while I'm still speaking. Gary McAllister, Hugh Giesel, any of yours?
Some of the oats are stuck in your mouth.
I'll tell you what it is. It's his facial reconstruction he's had done.
I can't. My Botox.
I never thought I'd hear the day.
Your
in
face
the
is
office,
looking a bit more
in
lifted
the office,
now.
He
I
says,
say.
I'm right into Botox
I'm
now.
I'm telling you now, it's a way forward for me.
I never thought I'd hear one of us in the studio say that.
I was going to get me Fraser involved in it, but that's an iron.
Look,
we would need
examine the evidence here. Botox, overnight oats, Buddhism. I'm telling you. 2 weeks from now, he'll have seen spacemen at Motherwell Cross.
And it can't be a midlife crisis because he's passed that
yeah,
20
well
years ago.
It.
It's
yeah,
some
yeah,
sort
yeah.
of.
It's a healthy lifestyle,
he's
Gordon.
Botox into your chops.
What I don't like about you is you should be encouraging and helping. Do you know what I mean? I could easily go and windle away like you, right? But I'm trying to do
Listen,
something
if
about
if
myself.
If you're still here at his
don't
age,
have the chance.
I'll
he
be
looks
amazed.
Brilliant for his age.
I will be amazed. Hearts are well in control. Dundee are offering very little threat. So it looks like a comfortable first half. A big team talk for Tony Dock, but they've showed they've got a bit about them in recent weeks.
Well, you go back to Dundee 3, Celtic 3. That's what they have about them. But it's almost as if that game was the high watermark. Never been quite the same since then.
That's been the problem for Dundee and Tony Dock though this season. You never actually know what you're going to get. Start of the season, okay. Went off a boil, then Hugh's right to highlight the Celtic game. They look like a real team, but two down today. Where last season, it really just went through 1 week to the next, picking up positive results. So a bit of inconsistency is costing them.
Let's round this off, Hugh, whilst we can.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I asked you to tell me the six nations that Scotland have played more than once and have a 100% win rate against. There are actually 10, but if you had six from the following, you're a winner. Albania, Armenia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Chile, Cyprus, Gibraltar, Iceland, Latvia, Liechtenstein and San Marino.
Well done, you only needed six. So congratulations to those of you who did it. In third place was Charlie Bayer, second Matondo, and first place Michael Donati. Well done to you, the gold medalist, the winner of the first half teaser. And we'll have a Who Am I as always in the second half. Mark Wilson, your employers have not ended the half well. Partick Thistle 0, Morton 1. And are we seeing an Airdrie resurgence? They finally got a league win again last week against Dunfermline. They've just scored in the stroke of half time to take a 1-0 lead at home to Queen's Park, thanks to Ben Wilson, at the same time as Morton scored to take the lead at Firhill. The locals will not like that, Mark Wilson.
No, certainly will not. Last week, such an important game against Ayr. I think it was the level of performance that was so disappointing. But your home games are crucial in this league, and just starting to lose ground on those top teams.
He's got to be careful. Partick have got high ambitions in that league, and it's not going too well. He's got a second half to turn it around, or I think the Partick Thistle manager comes under a bit of pressure here.
Funny the way the fixtures have fell this year, and same with Dundee a couple of weeks ago. Thistle just played Morton a couple of weeks ago, remember, in that Hogmanay game. The games come round, they're so similar. Oh, your old side ahead. Barry Robson, by the way,
doing all right now.
He's got the bounce going.
It's a derby, isn't it?
It is. Dunfermline Wraith Rovers. Not a good start in that one for Michael Tidzert. Lost last weekend, and a goal down, Dylan Easton's penalty on 43 minutes separating the side. So the championship has come to life just before half time. If the rugby is your thing, Scotland lead Italy by 31-19 at Murrayfield.
It's a lot of goals, isn't it?
Well, then it must have scored a hat trick.
That is a lot of goals. My goodness.
Down at the bottom there, you know, for Rhys McCabe at Airdrie, started the day 10 points behind Dunfermline, but now we're in a situation where Dunfermline are losing 1-0, Airdrie are winning 1-0. And if that were to remain the case, it's 7 points, and all of a sudden, it doesn't look a hopeless case anymore.
Oh, a chance for Dundee. It's a header. It's a bit of a weak effort from him. Not like him, because he got on the end of a cross. He was right in front of goal, but couldn't get the purchase. And Dundee really needed it. Would make some difference to go in at the break with at least one goal back. We should have known our featured championship game would finish first, and it has. Roger Hanna's watched Hamilton Accies against Ayr.
Yes, Hamilton 0, United 0 at the break, and the Honest Men not looking like a team likely to go top of the championship table tonight. They have huffed and puffed in this first half at Hamilton. They should have been ahead from the penalty spot, but Jay Henderson missed the best chance of the half. It was quite an even start. Ayr almost took lead in 12 minutes. Right wing back Dylan Watcher up from the back. Nice shot deflected wide of Dean Linus' left hand post. Then a couple of minutes later, the big chance for Ayr. Progress down the right hand side by Conor McLennan. He fired the ball into the box. It was handled by the Accies defender Stephen Hendry. Referee Matthew McDermott pointed straight to the spot. And Henderson, 13 goal involvements in the championship so far this season, but number 14 did not arrive. It was a weak penalty and well saved down to his left by goalkeeper Linus. One of six players recalled to the starting lineup by Jordan Rankin after that midweek defeat to Raith Rovers. Accies took a while to get into the game as an attacking force. They did threaten in 32 minutes. Kevin O'Hara with an angled shot that was well pushed out by the Ayr goalkeeper Harry Stone. Accies also finishing the half on the front foot. Scott Brown will demand much, much more from Ayr in the second half. At the break, it's Hamilton Accies 0, Ayr United 0.
Need a goal there, we have to say. Need a goal for Roger Hanna, still playing in our Premiership offerings. The game of the day in terms of the story attached to it, Hibs Aberdeen. But for first half entertainment, maybe Dave Galloway has more for us from Dens. We'll find out in the next few minutes. Yeah, we've got a couple actually. What about David Friel, who's watched the big one between Hibs and Aberdeen?
Half time, Gordon. Hibs won, Aberdeen now. Not been a great game, more of the same for struggling Aberdeen. Hibs in control at the break with that one goal. It came from Nectar Triantis, his simple header that gave him a 1-0 lead. They probably deserved it, they probably feel they would. Aberdeen haven't been terrible, they haven't been great, they just don't really look convincing all over the pitch. And I think Jimmy Tillian's a big half-time team talk ahead of them as they stand on the brink of going 14 Premiership games without a win. Aberdeen actually started okay. Leighton Clarkson had the first chance of the game, a low shot that was saved by Jordan Smith. They have had some pressure and spells, like Topi Keskinen have been busy, but there's a real lack of end product. We spoke about it before the game, they just don't have that focal point in attack. I'm sure Jimmy Tillian will be looking to his bench already. Hibs haven't really been in full flow either for the whole half, but they did do enough to get that goal in 24 minutes. Came after a really good move down the right, ended with Nicky Cadden's shot being deflected over from the resulting corner. Martin Boyle, it was so simple, he just swung it over to the back post, picked out the unmarked Josh Campbell, he headed back across goal. Nectar Triantis, standing all alone, just headed into the bottom corner. There hasn't been much action apart from that, but it's Aberdeen who need to come up with something after the break. Half time, Hibs 1, Aberdeen 0.
What about Fraser Wishart then, the Battle of the Saints in Paisley?
You say battle, Gordon. It was pretty poor fare here at St Mirren. St Mirren 0, St Johnstone 0 at half time. The ref's half time whistle was really a relief for everybody. He's put the first half behind us. Players can regroup and hopefully we'll get better in the second. There'll be a pretty short report of virtually nothing has happened. Both teams really passive. There's hardly even a foul, no flashpoint, not even a shot at goal in the first 30-35 minutes. I think it's been played at a tempo of a training game. The players take the safety option, rather than making something happen. Someone have had the better of it, if anything. Most of the games in the St Johnstone half, Zach Hemming, a virtual spectator, but St Johnstone been well organised at the back. They've kept the ball well, put some nice football, but inside their own half, and strangely, they've had more possession than St Mirren, despite the fact they've not had one touch in St Mirren's box. The little action there was, Killian Phillips had done better at the back post with a header across goal. Ross Sinclair guarded it easily. There's a few St Mirren players he could have hit. 32 minutes of first real effort at goal. Mikael Mandron showed really good strength, held up a couple of challenges, got to the edge of the box. His left foot shot though was tame and straight at Sinclair. And then just before the break, Mark O'Hara tried his luck from 25 yards, didn't really get a hold of it, and it bobbled straight at Sinclair, and that was it. But as a glass half full person, one positive is the second half can't possibly be as poor as the first. At least that's what I hope. Half time at the Smythe Stadium, St Mirren 0-St Johnstone 0.
Ah, he's a ray of sunshine with that match report, Fraser Wisher. What about Dave Galloway at Dens?
Half time, Dundee 0, Hearts 2, Gordon. The visitors well in command, and Shankland back with a bang. Hearts the first to threaten. Penrice crossed for Shankland, whose header was well saved by Carson. At the other end, Murray created space for himself 20 yards out, but shot straight at Gordon. Hearts went ahead in the 15th minute. Shankland controlled the ball with his right foot, swivelled and scored with a terrific left-footed drive into the bottom corner. And after 17 minutes, it was 2-0. A deflected cross, Spittle controlled the ball with his chest, and last, a superb volley from the edge of the box into the top corner of the net. Nielsen almost made it 3, his flick kept out at full stretch by Carson, who also made an impressive save to beat away Kabangu's well-struck effort after a nice build-up. Dundee offering very little threat in the first half, but Murray, as the interval approached, passed up a really good chance right in front of goal, heading weakly at Gordon from Mulligan's cross. At half time, Dundee 0, Hearts 2.
And we'll do a full round up of the half time scores next.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half-time scores in the Scottish Premiership. It is Dundee 0, Hearts 2, Hibs 1, Aberdeen 0, St Mirren 0, St Johnstone 0. And don't forget, we have a 5:45 kick-off between Kilmarnock and Dundee United. So that is still to come at Rugby Park a bit later on today. In the Championship, at the break, it's Airdrie 1, Queen's Park 0, Dunfermline 0, Raith Rovers 1, Hamilton Accies 0, Ayr United 0, and Partick Thistle 0, Morton 1. In League 1, it's Cove 0, Arbroath 1, Dumbarton 1, Alloa 0, Inverness 1, Queen of the South 0, Kelty Hearts 1, Annan Athletic 0, and Montrose 0, Stenhouse Muir 1. In League 2, Bonnyrigg Rose 2, Clyde 0, Edinburgh City 2, Stirling Albion 1, Elgin City 1, East Fife 0, Peterhead 2, Forfar 0, and Stranraer 1, Spartans 0. And the English Premier League to finish us off then, at the full time score on this one, Nottingham Forest 7, Brighton 0. At the break, it's Bournemouth 0, Liverpool 1, Everton 3, Leicester 0, Ipswich 1, Southampton 1, and Newcastle 1, Fulham 0. We will be back with the second halves next.